Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. Hebrews chapter 5. And starting in verse 11, and we're going to be working our way down to verse 14, finishing up this chapter here in Hebrews today. As we've been studying the book of Hebrews, we've discussed a lot about Christ. And the penman here is going to take a step back for a moment here and discuss what we're going to see here in verse 11 through 14. And I'm praying that the Lord would help each and every one of us to see how we all need help in this area. No matter how long we've been saved and how long we've been coming to church and all of those things, we all need help in this area here this morning. Let us Hebrews chapter 5, and starting in verse 11, reading through verse 14, the Bible says this, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now notice here, as he's going through this passage, we see there in that passage, it says this in verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now notice there, it's speaking of spiritual maturity there. That's what it's speaking of. Speaking of someone who they've been saved for some time, but they have not allowed themselves to grow in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, and in the truth of God's Word. That's what that's speaking of there. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we will dive into this passage here today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for this group that has just gathered here today to hear your Word preached. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that I would be a vessel that's used of you today. I don't want, Lord, for ones to do things simply because it's what the pastor says. Lord, I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to preach this in a way of thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray you'd guide and direct my thoughts and my words today, and that, Lord, that I would just point others to you. Lord, I pray you'd do a work in my own heart today, Lord, that I would draw closer to you in this area as well. Lord, each and every one of us need your help. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, or maybe on the live stream, Lord, that they would trust you as their Savior today. There's no more important decision that they could make today than trusting you, coming to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Notice here in this passage in Hebrews chapter 5, it's talking about two things. We see milk, and we also see strong meat. Notice the penman here, he stops for a moment and he offers a warning or a rebuke to these people. And he's telling them here that he's been speaking of Christ. Notice, as we've been going through this passage, we've read a lot about Christ. And in verse 11, where we picked it up here today, we see two words. We see "of whom." And then we see "we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." So he's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Christ that is called of God, as speaks about in verse 10 there. And it says, who is called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So he's talking about Christ, the one who came and died on the cross for each and every one of us. And then he stops here for a moment. And he no longer continues his thought about Christ, but he brings it down to these people's level here, and he stops and he says, "Of whom," speaking of Christ, "I have so many more things to say to you." He said, "But I can't talk about those things." Not because it's something that's beyond human comprehension, but because these people have kept themselves from growing in the Word of God. He brings it to a personal level and he tells them why they would have a hard time understanding this truth. So I would like to preach to you a message today that I have entitled this: "How is our hearing?" How's our hearing? You know, we are in a world that there is doctors everywhere. We know of the doctor, of course, when we are having trouble hearing. We know that doctor is called the audiologist. We've been to audiologists. I've been to them, of course, myself, and of course with Paisley and her special needs with hearing aids and those things. We've been to the audiologist many times. And here's what they are going to say when you go into the audiologist. They're going to ask you, they're going to say, can you hear this? Well, how about this? Let me know as soon as you hear whatever this sound may be. And they may say, well, has your hearing gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Is it about the same? They ask these questions. Why? Because they're trying to see exactly how we can hear and in ways they can help us. So we're going to go to the spiritual audiologist today, amen? But this one that we're going to today is not one who has to ask a question on how our hearing is. It's the one who already knows. He knows the state of our hearing. He knows that. He knows exactly what we are hearing and what we are blocking out. Notice, not what we're able to hear. He knows there's things that we should be hearing right now, but because we have allowed ourselves to stay on the milk and not the meat, notice we're blocking that sound out of our lives. We're not talking about the ears on the side of our head this morning, but I want to talk to us about the ears of our heart. May the Lord help us this morning to understand exactly what the condition of our hearing is. First of all, this morning I want to talk to you about the personal rebuke that is given. Look at verse 11, if you will. Notice it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Notice he's talking to these people here. Notice he doesn't say what many of us would say. Notice if we were to write this, we would say, this, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that those people out there are hard of hearing. They're dull of hearing. No, that's not what it says. He brings it to a personal level. In each and every one of us, we need to understand that no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how spiritual we may be, or any of those things, no matter how much of the Bible we know, there are times in our life, and many times each and every day, in which the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us, but at that time we are dull of hearing. We don't want to hear that. We don't want God to do that. We don't want to make those changes in our lives. We don't want that. This penman here, he's speaking to believers. He's not speaking to unbelievers here. He's not speaking to the ones who have rejected Christ. That's not who he's speaking of. Notice many times in the book of Hebrews, he has called them brethren. They're saved people. He's told them exactly who Christ is. He's told them why they should be following Christ rather than following man. And he's told them about Christ and his priesthood and all of those things. And he tells them he calls them brethren. He says, but even though you're saved, you're still dull of hearing. He is not speaking to unlearned men and women. These are Hebrew believers here. These are ones who have been to school. They know exactly what the Scriptures say. This is what they were taught. They were taught from the Scriptures, from their youth, each and every one of them. They knew what the priest said. They knew what the prophet said. They knew the Scriptures. It wasn't from a lack of knowing what the Bible says that they were dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing simply because they personally would not allow themselves to grow to the next level. They wouldn't allow themselves to do that. Too many times we think of someone being dull of hearing, we tend to think of an unbeliever or someone who's living in open rebellion, but that's not always the case. The word dull is only found, I believe, three times in the entire Bible. And here's what that word means. It means sluggish. It means lazy. It means slothful. And if that doesn't describe the condition of the hearing of most believers in today's time, I don't know what does. Because there's a lot of Bible that gets preached, but there's not a lot of application, there's not a lot of Bible that gets applied to the lives of men. Why? Because we're lazy in our hearing. because we're sluggish in our hearing, because we're slothful. Someone who is dull of hearing is one who has heard something and they do not heed to what they heard. Therefore, they do not grow in the Word of God. Notice, this is not speaking of someone who cannot hear, but rather the one who is slow to hear or refuses to hear. They hear the Word of God preached. They know this is what the Bible says, but they say, I'll do that another time. I'll follow God later on. That is someone who is dull of hearing. Every time we come into the house of God, the Word of God is preached, and we do our devotions at home, and the Word of God is open. Whenever the Word of God is open, we have to make a decision. And that decision is this. Are we going to hear the Word of God, or are we going to be dull of hearing? What's it going to be? Because if we read the Word of God, God will speak to us if we read the Word of God, asking God to speak to us. But here's what we do many times. Well, it's time to do my devotions today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read these two verses. Of whom we have many things thing to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Oh, let me check my phone real quick. Nothing new on Facebook. Oh yeah, let me get back to here. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need but one teacher again. Let me go get the door. Oh yeah, come on in. Let's talk. It's been a long time. Come on in here. And we convince ourselves that we've been in the Word of God that day. God's not going to speak to us that way. You know what that mindset comes from? It comes from someone who is dull of hearing. I understand there's times in which we have set aside for devotions and maybe something comes up, an emergency or whatever it may be. I understand life happens. But here's what I'm saying. If we are dull of hearing, we approach the Bible differently than if we are asking God to speak to us. If you're dull of hearing, you approach the Bible as something that's just on the list of things to do rather than something we cannot wait to read. I enjoy the Lord speaking to my heart, but can I tell you this? Even though I'm a pastor, that doesn't mean that the flesh doesn't want to get in the way. It doesn't mean that my flesh doesn't say, but you've got so many things to do today, why don't you just skip that? That's what the flesh wants to do. But this is where we need to be. Because if we are not in the Word of God, we are the ones who are in need of milk and not a strong meat. Because we're not allowing ourselves to grow. You can only grow by being in the Word of God. Each and every one of us, we have a decision to make when the Word of God is open, whether we're going to obey the Word of God or whether we're going to block it out. We will either hear what it has to say, which means we will abide by what it says, or we will read it and reject what it says. You see, before those decisions can be made, the Bible is open. But just as though reading the Bible will not save you, know that reading the Bible without hearing it in your heart, abiding by what it says, it will not help you to grow in the Word of God either. We have to understand all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Bible says that it is profitable. Everything we do in life, we like it to be profitable. But yet when we come to the Word of God, we read the Word of God and we don't allow it to be applied to our lives. Not because the Word of God is not profitable, but because we're not allowing it to be profitable in our life. It comes from someone who's dull of hearing. When we approach the Word of God, we need to approach it for what it is. You know, we have something that we try to enforce very strictly at our house. The Word of God is to never be on the floor. Ever. Something is to be under it, whatever it may be. And also, not only can it not be on the floor, but nothing can be placed on top of the Word of God either. Why? Because it's important for us to understand what this book is. It's the very Word of God. And when we come to the Word of God, if we desire to grow in the Word of God, we need to come to the Word of God asking the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart today. And if you do that, I can guarantee you this, He will. And that's how we grow in the Word of God. That's how we get to the point in which we can have this strong meat. Yes, the milk of the Word is good. It's good for growing. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment here. But we need to get to the point in which we can take that strong meat and we can say, I know this is what the Bible says about this. I know the Bible says this. I know that this here is not easy for me to hear in the flesh, but this is what the Bible says. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. We've got to get to that point, but he is personally rebuking them here. He's saying, look, there's so much more that I need to say to you. But it's hard to be uttered because you're dull of hearing. The writer's been speaking of Christ, and he says, look, there's so much more to say. There's so much more to say about the great high priest, but I cannot proceed with that because you're not going to hear me. You're not going to abide by what it says. You have your ears shut off to the truth of God's Word. It was a personal rebuke, and this is for all that see this verse. Turn over to the book of Matthew, if you will, chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. I want you to see just a simple word there. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Now, I want us to read those first two words together when I say begin. Just the first two words. Matthew 28:19. Ready? Begin. Go ye. So wait a second. So we see the word ye there in that passage. And of course, that's speaking of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We also read, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The word ye, as we see it here, is not just speaking to the hearers at that time. When you study the word ye in the Greek, of course, which is what the New Testament was written in, the Koine Greek, when you study that, that word there, here's what it means. It means it applies to all who hear. Everyone who sees this verse or hears this verse, it applies to them. You know, it's easy for us to say this. Well, that was just for the disciples. Well, that was just for the ones that were there at that time. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That doesn't apply to me. I don't see my name there. Well, here this morning, maybe you've never heard that verse before. Guess what? You've heard it today. Therefore, it applies to you. Go ye. But also we see over here in Hebrews chapter 5, and just in case any of us are saying to ourselves, well, it's impossible, because as long as I've been saved, it's impossible for me to grow a dull of hearing. Notice what it says there in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Each and every one of us are one decision away from becoming dull of hearing. That decision is this. I see what the Bible says. I understand it applies to everyone. But I'm not going to do it. That's that decision. Make that decision on anything that the Bible says. Then you're dull of hearing. And it's easy for each and every one of us to slip into that. So we are all to go and proclaim the good news of Christ, the gospel of Christ. The word ye applies to all. Notice it says ye are dull of hearing. And also notice that he says that these things, notice it says these things are hard to be uttered. He's not saying they're hard to be uttered because they're in some language that he just doesn't quite understand, or that he hasn't mastered, or something like that. He says it's hard to be uttered, not because of the that it's spiritually hard to be uttered, but because of the deficiency of the people. You know why many people go to churches that do not preach the whole counsel of God? Because they go to the place that actually preaches the Bible and they say this, well, that's hard preaching. Well, that preaching didn't make me feel good. Church, if we go into what we call a church, and we always leave there feeling good, something's wrong. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Word of God. But praise the Lord, God speaks to our heart and He convicts our heart. Why? Because that keeps us on the right path. But we have to understand the Word of God is there for our good, but we need to grow in the Word of God. Notice He brings it personally to these people here. He says, look, it's not because the Word of God is not true. It's not because I'm going to have a hard time teaching this. He said, I can't say these things to you because you refuse to grow in what you already know of the Word of God. Notice not only the personal rebuke. Notice, second of all, this morning, the distinction that was made. Look at verse 12 and 13, if you will. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now notice, as we look at this passage here, it's easy for us to see that the penman, he desired to dig into this truth of God's Word, but these people were not ready for that. Not because it was beyond some human comprehension, not because he had no way of explaining this to him or some other scholarly reason, but because these people, they have not allowed themselves to grow out of the infant stage spiritually. They've just been sitting there, and they're just happy with that milk. They're happy with just receiving that, because when you're just receiving the milk of the Word, you're just receiving what we would consider these simple things of Scripture. It's easy for us to say, well, I'm doing good enough. I don't want to hear those other things. I don't want that strong meat, because you know what that means? That means work in our lives. It's a lot easier to drink the milk than it is to chew the meat. But we as believers, we need to be growing in the meat from the Word of God. It's not something that each and every one of us have to do by ourselves. No, God's going to help us to digest that meat of the Word of God. He's going to help us. Something that we all know is that when a baby is born, they are to start off with the milk. That milk, it has the nutrients that they need. It has the nutrients they need to grow and to develop. Not only from the milk to develop into an adult stage, but out of the infant stage. But I can guarantee you this. When I tell my wife and my kids, we're driving down the road and I say, I'm hungry. I'm not pulling into Wawa and buying a pint of milk. It's not happening. I may buy a pint of milk for Paisley, but I'm getting a lot more than just milk, amen? Why? Because my appetite needs more than just milk. Because I've grown physically. But there's many people who have been saved for many, many, many years. And they're still on the milk of the Word. Not because the meat's not available, but because they haven't allowed themselves to grow from the milk. Something that we all know is that this is true in the physical realm, but it needs we need to see how true it is in the spiritual as well. Milk is not a bad thing. Milk has great nutritional value, and the same is true with the milk of the Word. I'm not mocking the simple things in Scripture. I'm not mocking those things at all. That's where we all need to start out. Someone needs to know that look, all men are sinners. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Someone gets saved and praise the Lord for that. We don't need to throw them into the book of Ezekiel, amen? It doesn't need to happen. That's some of the meat of the Word. Even believers like myself have been saved for a long time, studying the Bible and those things, and I still have problems with some things in the book of Ezekiel. Wondering what these things mean. The milk is a good thing for growing. We need the milk. And we never need to forget the milk. Understand that it is profitable for us. Why? Because it's the milk of the Word of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When a believer is young, they need teaching on the basic doctrines, why we believe what we believe, who Christ is, what He has done for them, the way that He helps us. The basic teaching of the Word of God is the milk of the Word. We need that. It's important for us to build a good foundation. and the penman here and myself, we are in no way mocking the milk of the Word, but it were, but what he's saying and what I'm trying to declare to us today is this, that the milk is a good thing, but there comes a point spiritually where we need to be beyond the milk. We've got to get beyond that. Unfortunately, many believers are still in need of only the milk of the Word. Many churches and preachers refuse to preach the whole counsel of God. They refuse to preach what we would call the complex passages of Scripture because many preachers and pastors are still in the milk of the Word themselves, and that is a shame. Lord, help us. Again, the milk of the Word is good, and we need it to start off right. We need to know and understand the basic Bible doctrines, but we must hear, understand, and obey the rest of the Word of God as well. But for too long, we as believers, we've stood on what the church believes or what the pastor preaches rather than what the Word of God says. And I can guarantee you this, it doesn't matter how spiritual the man is or how great the church is, if you follow the man or you follow the building, you're going to be led astray. You're going to be let down. You have to follow the Word of God. It's the only way we can grow. If you believe it simply because of what a man says, you're still dependent upon the milk when you should be feasting on the meat. Everything that we proclaim to believe should have a biblical basis behind it. Should be there. You know, something that it would absolutely tear me apart to hear is this. When someone was to ask a church member of Grace Baptist Church, why do you believe this? It would absolutely make me sick to hear them say, because that's what the pastor said. Because it's not about what I say. It's about what the Bible says. I was out yesterday and talking to a young man in his door, and he was talking about church and just those types of things. And I told him, I said, look, I said, I'm not out here trying to tell you what Grace Baptist Church believes. I'm not out here telling you just what I believe in mere words. I said, I'm not here telling you what the Bible says. I said, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what God said in His Word. That's how each and every one of us should see these things. We see here that the penman uses the first principles, he says. Notice there in verse 12, it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. This is describing these basic teachings, the ABCs, if you will, the first principles. It comes from the word, Greek word that means ion. Anyone that knows anything about science, we know that that atoms and ions, these are the things that make up everything that we see. It's the basic thing. It's the basic principles. And he's telling them here, these basic principles, these are the primary elements of Scripture. You have to know those things. And once you know those things, you are to grow from that. Growing into a mature believer. Church, we need to be growing. We need to be maturing. One man said this about the ones who are saved and should be eating the meat, but yet they're still living on the milk. He said this, these people should be adults. They should be teachers. But they are babies who still need someone to burp them. If that doesn't describe many believers today, I don't know what does. Many ones who have no idea what the Bible says outside of what they hear in the house of God. Church, this should not be the only place our Bibles are opened. Our Bible should not sit still long enough to collect dust. Each and every one of us need to understand the Word of God is there for our good, and we are to grow thereby. We need to be growing and maturing in our walk with God. But yet, mature believers many times are just worried about nonsense. You know, there's many believers who still act like babies in the Word. They've been saved for some time by the word of their testimony, but always concerned about what someone meant by this, why did this person do that to that person, and all of these things. They focus on all of these little things or statements that come from people's mouths that should not come from spiritual adults, but rather from these infants spiritually speaking. We need to be more concerned about souls than we are about our feelings. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. I understand things happen. People get hurt. I understand those things. But we need to understand that God's Word is there for our good, and we need to feast on the Word of God rather than the words of man. And then notice lastly here this morning, not only the milk and the meat there and the discernment that was made. But notice lastly, so how do we improve our hearing? So if there's a personal rebuke there in each and every one of us, we can see that we are prone to fall into this. What do we do about it? Is there something that we can do, or should we just continue on the way that we're going? Well, look at verse 14. Notice it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their seasons exercised to discern both good and evil." Exercise is not a word that our body likes, amen. My boys had a shirt that said exercise. I thought you said extra fries, amen. Praise the Lord. But notice, let's look at how we improve our hearing. Verse 11, it says, "Ye are," at the end of that, "ye are dull of hearing." This means to become or to have become. These people, they were not made dull of hearing because of someone else's doings, but by their own doings. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 7, it says this. Notice at the end of the verse, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Notice it doesn't say today. It says today if ye will hear His voice. It doesn't say if His voice is there. It says if you're going to hear it. God's Word is here, church. We have the Word of God, and praise the Lord for that. We should understand how blessed we are to own a copy of the Scriptures. It's not whether or not it's there. But if we want to improve our hearing, we have to understand that we are to hear His voice. And notice, harden not our hearts. Notice there in that verse, in verse 7, it doesn't say, today if you will hear His voice and someone else doesn't harden your heart, then do this. No, it says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. We're not to harden our hearts. They had no interest in hearing the Word of God. They hardened their heart towards it. They did not want to obey what the Bible said. So instead of hearing the truth, they hardened their hearts to it. If we want to improve our spiritual hearing, we need to understand that our lack of growth, it's not the church's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the Sunday school teacher's fault. It's not the fault of anyone but ourselves. For the people who have left very strong Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, and here's what they've said. Well, I left because I just wasn't getting fed any longer. And to some of them, and not all of them, I probably should have to all of them, but to some of them I've said this. But the buffet was there. The food was sitting in front of you. If you weren't fed, it's because you never picked up the fork. Of course, they didn't like that answer there, but it was true, amen. But if we say, well, I'm just not growing in the Lord, we have no business pointing our fingers at anyone else and saying it's their fault. If I'm not growing in the Lord, it's not your fault and it's not God's fault. And can I tell you this? It's not Satan's fault either. It's my fault. If I'm not feasting on the meat and I'm still just drinking the milk of the Word, and that's as far as it goes, that's my fault. And if that's where we desire to stay, on the milk of the Word, we are a malnourished Christian. And we cannot be used of God if we're that way. Hebrews 4:7 says, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Church, we must ensure that we are studying the Word of God for ourselves. The church service, yes, they are good. We should be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, understanding that this is what the Bible says. We need to be under the preaching of God's Word. And the Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be here under the preaching of God's Word. But His Word needs to be open every day in our lives. Because you know what's coming every day? Satan's attacks. His fiery darts. Guess what? They're coming. Well, I went to church on Sunday and I put on my spiritual armor. But if you don't put it on Monday and the darts come, guess what? You'll be pierced through. If you don't put it on Tuesday, see, the armor of God is something we need to put on every single day, all throughout the day. We need our hearing spiritually to be improved. We need to be here. If we only go by what we hear in church from, quote, religious leaders, we'll be no different than what we saw in the Hebrews that we read of in the Scriptures. Ones who are blindly following the teaching of man rather than the Word of God. There's many religions that will tell you, well, you need someone to explain the Bible to you, and they will go as far as to say this: the average person cannot understand the Scriptures. That's heresy. You know, the Bible, the King James Version Bible that we have in our hands today, if you don't have that, I would encourage you to get one. Amen? It's the inspired Word of God preserved for English-speaking people. We have that in the King James Version Bible. You know, it has the reading level of an eighth grader? An eighth grader. Each and every one of us, well, Sammy, what grade are you in? Seventh grade. Almost all of us are above eighth grade. Amen? We have no excuses to not understand the Word of God. No excuses at all. We don't need someone else to explain it to us. And I understand there's things that we have questions about. There's things that I read. And I'll reach out to men of God that have been in the ministry. I know they've studied through this. And I'll call them. I'll say, look, can you help me with this? I'm not saying there's not going to be challenging passages in the Word of God. But what I'm saying is we need to understand that the Word of God is there for us to read and understand ourselves. For God to help us. The Bible says that we are to study thyself approved, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're to study the Word of God. We are, and as we study the Bible biblically, it will be reinforced when we come in to the house of God, church. The Word of God is for our good. Even though the world tries to discount the Word of God, it tries to tell us that the Word of God is not important. They've taken it out of schools. They've taken Ten Commandments out of courthouses and all of those things. And there's many people that have said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. How's that worked out for our nation? Have you notice that even though they took those things out of courthouses and the Bible out of school and prayer out of school and all of those things, now those other things are statues of men they're trying to take down. Why? Because man wants to do what man wants to do. Well, I don't want that to be there. Therefore, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. This is what I want. They're following their pride. Church, we need to follow the Bible and understand that we are to grow in the Word of God. And the only way that our hearing is going to improve, spiritually speaking, is by being in the Word of God and asking the Lord, Lord, show me what You want to show me today. But be careful. You pray that prayer and He'll show you things. And sometimes it's going to be things that our flesh doesn't like to hear. And if we decide, after the Lord shows us something that needs to be rid from our lives, if we decide, you know what, I'm going to keep that, understand, you will continue to be dull of hearing. The Word of God is for our good. We cannot grow spiritually outside of the Word of God. It doesn't matter how active you are in church, what committee you may be a part of, whether you're a deacon or not. None of that matters when it comes to spiritual growth. Just as every human begins by receiving the right nutrients from the milk, we can only grow by receiving the right nutrients from the Word of God. That's the only way that we can continue to grow. And God will show us things from His Word when He knows that we're ready for those things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then also we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's telling these people that they, it's not that they haven't grown to the meat because they haven't been fed the milk. Notice, he says in verse 2, "I fed you with milk." You've had the those nutrients. You've had those things that you need to grow. But notice he says there in verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. He says, "I fed you with that milk. You should be at the point of eating milk now, but you're not." Because they hadn't applied it to their lives. And notice what came out of that. Because they didn't apply the meat. Notice in verse 3, "For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are carnal and walk as men." Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, if we are to improve our hearing spiritually, there are some things that we are to lay aside. Notice it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says there that we are to lay aside malice. We're to lay it aside. It says there in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice." That word malice, it means naughtiness and wickedness. Church, it is absolutely impossible for us to grow in the Word of God if our lives are full of wicked living. It doesn't matter how much Bible we read if we just neglect what it says. If we're actively living in sin and wickedness, it's impossible for us to grow in the Word of God because that is not what will give us the nutrients that we need. We need to hear what the Word of God says. We need to follow the Word of God. We need to lay aside that wicked behavior in our life. And then notice also laying aside guile. This word guile, it means this. It means a decoy. It means a trick. This has to do with someone that's living a lie, being one way in church and another way at home. You're not going to grow that way. You're not going to. If you only partake of nutrients on Sunday and Wednesday, you're not going to grow. We are to live the Christian life. You know what life is lived? Life is lived every single moment of every single day. That's when life is lived. And this Christian life is something that all of us are to be living. We're not to be living in wickedness. We're not to be just putting on a show. Lay aside all malice and guile. Notice and also hypocrisies. It's hypocrisy. It means being deceitful or condemning of others. Lord, help us in that area. Also, envies. That's talking about jealousy and ill will towards someone. We should not be wishing ill on anyone or being jealous of what someone else has or what someone else is. But then also notice lastly here that we have to lay aside evil speakings. Evil speakings. Let no corrupt communications come out of thy mouth. Evil speakings. We're to lay those things aside. If we are to grow in the Word of God and grow into the meat of the Word, we are to lay aside all of these things. That evil speaking, that means this, worthless or harmful speech. all of these things seem to hit home with all of us, but when it comes to evil speakings, that's one that we can all relate to, because it's easy to point out the faults and failures in others, because guess what it does? It removes the focus from our own downfalls, doesn't it? If I can focus on your problem, guess what? Then I don't have to focus on mine. If I can condemn someone else, then that removes people's eyes from myself. Lord, help us. The penman here, he's telling them that, yes, they need to grow, but in order to do that, there's some changes that need to be made, some things that need to be taken care of. And each and every one of us need to understand these are things that need to be taken care of every day in our lives. So after taking this hearing test today, I ask myself this question, ask you the question as well. How's your hearing? How are we doing? I can speak for myself and say, I need some help. Some areas that need improvement. Ways in which I need the Lord to help me. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Best thing you can do today is trust Christ. And I can guarantee you this, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you begin on the milk of the Word. And can I tell you this for a certainty today? It's the sweetest milk you've ever tasted. Because it comes from heaven Himself. It comes from God. He'll help you to grow. He'll help you to grow in His Word. If you're not saved here today, trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe you are saved here today. You should know that you should not desire to stay in the milk of the Word forever. You should desire to get into the meat stage of life. The time in which you get more nutrition. And the Bible says this, that ye may grow thereby. You know, the milk will take you to a certain point, but then after that, you need the meat. You need the vegetables. You need those things that are going to help you grow. Are you speaking malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, or evil speakings proceeding out of your mouth? We're not going to grow that way. Our hearing will not be improved if we keep those things as a part of our life. We need the Lord's help with each and every one of these things.